Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, February 5th, 2024. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing. Addy O.A. Jr. joining me is the LaCroix Poppy, Tim Fucking Geddes.
What a morning it's already been. Yep. I woke up early today. I was like, I'm going to get a fresh start. I know it's going to be a big day of conversation. So I was like, I'm going to head to the studio early. Guess what that means? No, I'm not.
No?
I mean, I headed to the studio early, but every single streetlight had its power out because the there's windstorms right now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of rain, but the wind.
The wind has been crazy. It's funny.
It's wild.
I got a text over the weekend from my landlord, and the landlord's like, hey, there's a high risk of, like, you know, high water levels. If you have your car parked outside, you might want to move your car. And so I was like, I'm going to go move my car because I saw this, how this went down last time it happened, and it was crazy. I'm not, like, shared the pictures online because I don't want people to know where I live, but, like, and my street was flooded last year,
Chad. Dude, it was
crazy.
It's scary out here, man. And yeah, like getting here was just like, well, this fucking sucks. And every power's out everywhere. Luckily, my house power's not out.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, bless, would it be that bad? I got my Steam Deck OLED.
Yeah.
I'm a changed man.
I want to hear more. I want to hear a lot about the Steam Deck
OLED. Yeah. Yeah. We'll have to save that for another day, though.
Okay.
Because today.
I just want a morsel. Just give me something.
I'm in love with this thing, man. But one of my bigger problems with it was I've gotten so used to the back buttons on the DualSense Edge or a multitude of different Switch Joy-Con replacements that I've used.
Mm-hmm.
I love the things, man. I love being able to map some button that has some use. And every game, I find something, right?
Yeah.
The Steam Deck ones, for some reason, they're in there. Like, they feel less like buttons, more like
triggers.
Little G-spots, you know what I mean?
I know exactly
it's way harder to get into than you would expect. I bought these little like buttons that you put on top of it to like make it like how the other controllers feel. And now I'm like, oh, I'm just out here solving all the problems.
There you go.
Fantastic. No, I'm loving this thing, man.
Let me tell you, I canceled a lot of my plans this weekend because of the rain, because I thought it was going to be more terrible in terms of the rain. Mm-hmm. It's actually been more of the wind that's been a thing. But because of that, I've spent most of my weekend at home, big gaming. But yesterday I was like, okay, I could use a little bit of a break. I've heard a lot of people talk about the show Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh yeah,
and I watched the first two episodes. That's a show.
That's a show. Everybody.
That's a show. Have you seen it yet?
Just the trailers. Haven't seen it yet because I've been gaming too. A lot of stuff going on.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith is fire.
Yeah,
I cannot wait to go back. I didn't realize that obviously Donald Glover is starring in it, right? Yeah. But like, I didn't realize that he was like executive producing it, and then also I think the director on a lot of the episodes are people from Atlanta, and Atlanta's maybe my favorite show of all time, and so like. It doesn't have Atlanta energy, but it has that level of craft to it that I fucking love.
I love that, man.
I'm all about it.
I'm so happy. Last thing I'll say about the Steam Deck, though.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to be such a problem for me because I'm already turning into one of you sickos. And I know you're a newer sicko to this world, but this weekend, how many different games did I think about and go, I wonder if it's on Steam and search for it? I just fucking buy a download.
Oh my
God. Why?
I mean, why not?
And I played it for like 2 minutes. I'm like, ooh, that looks pretty.
Yeah.
I'll get back to that at some point. No, I won't. What the fuck am I doing with my life? Whatever.
Just play
some
Sekiro.
I'm just happy that Sonic Adventure 2 wasn't there because I was going to buy it.
Oh my God. I mean, listen, there are ways to play Sonic Adventure 2 on the Steam Deck if you want to. But enough about all that, Tim. Let's talk about today's stories, which include Xbox might be bringing their games to PlayStation, Neil hints at Last of Us 3, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily.
What a group of stories to put next to each other. Oh, man.
Each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, please support us with the Kinda Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free, watch us record them live, and get a daily exclusive show. For a chance to be a part of the show, submit your thoughts and opinions as YouTube Super Chats as we go. Housekeeping for you, KFAF is coming back on February 9th for part 2 of our anniversary stream. If you submitted a Photoshop challenge or want to submit a Photoshop challenge, please tweet them to @KindaFunnyVids with the hashtag KFAF. This challenge's theme is the future. What do you think the future has in store for Kinda Funny? Oh, do you think Nick will somehow get younger? Will Mike get laser vision like Cyclops from the X-Men? Will Andy, this is Nick that wrote this.
Thanks.
Will Andy start wearing overalls and be our friend for once? Tweet your photoshops at Kinda Funny Vids with hashtag KFAF to join in on the fun. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Carl Jacobs, Streaking Ain't Easy, and Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by new Kinda Funny merch, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have five stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one. Starfield is reportedly coming to PS5 along with other Xbox exclusives. I'm pulling from Andy Robinson at Video Games Chronicle. Microsoft is reportedly planning to release Starfield on PS5 as part of a new initiative to bring more Xbox-exclusive games to other console platforms. That's according to Xbox Era, which cites anonymous sources who claim that the Bethesda RPG is being planned for release on Sony's console alongside previously rumored Hi-Fi Rush and Sea of Thieves ports. According to the publication's sources, Microsoft is planning to release Starfield for PS5 after the game's planned Shattered Space expansion, which is due to arrive on Xbox and PC later this year. Bethesda's upcoming Indiana Jones game could be another first-party Xbox title set to release on PS5, according to The Verge sources. According to the publication, Bethesda is considering bringing an Indiana Jones and the Great Circle to PS5 following its announcement for Xbox and PC last month. Quote, a new multi-platform approach for certain Xbox games is emerging inside Microsoft, we're told, with the company weighing up which titles will remain exclusive and others that will appear on Switch or PS5 in the future, it wrote. Bethesda will reportedly launch its Indiana Jones game first as an Xbox console exclusive, followed by a possible PS5 release some months later. According to the Xbox Era report, quote, Microsoft's senior leadership have reportedly debated the various pros and cons of releasing more of their exclusive software elsewhere, and internally, not everyone is necessarily happy with the decision, but recouping the potential money left on the table by not releasing elsewhere has arguably won out. Now, that all broke over the weekend, which caused a storm of Twitter conversation, an online conversation over the weekend. But then this morning, we got the additional info from VGC, actually from Jeff Grubb, but via VGC.
I need everyone to strap in for this.
Microsoft is reportedly considering bringing the Gears of War franchise to PlayStation. That's according to Giant Bomb's Jeff Grubb, who was elaborating on recent claims that Microsoft is working on a new initiative to release more Xbox-exclusive games on other console platforms.
Bless, this is a moment in time that we were going to be able to look back on and be like, wow, this is where things really started to move in motion towards the future of the video game industry as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
We are at such an interesting point right now where Xbox self-admittedly lost the console war. They came out, the legal documents, the speeches and everything that Phil has done.
Well, Spencer on the show, or not on the show, but
said that. Kind of they've funny. Acknowledged that. And what does that mean? In addition to that, years ago, in what I always cite as one of the most iconic Games Daily episodes ever, Xbox Game Pass has announced that first-party titles are going to be day and date on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Again, changing the trajectory of Microsoft and Xbox forever. We're now seeing the ramifications of all of that, and we're seeing a strategy shift of where is the money in games? And when this generation started with Xbox, Nintendo, and PlayStation, I've said a million times, like they're each in their own lane doing their own thing. But for the longest time, Xbox and PlayStation were still in similar lanes, still fighting similar fights.
Mm.
We're at a place now that after the most major acquisitions we've ever seen in video games, especially now with Activision Blizzard being done, we're looking at a lot of questions of what the future of Xbox games looks like and where we're going to even be playing them. Meanwhile, PlayStation continuing to do its thing, and I feel like undeniably having, at least on paper currently, the weakest year of lineup for PlayStation games it's had ever. The biggest thing it has going for it right now is a third-party game, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Exclusive, though.
Yeah.
You know, and what I feel like we're going to be talking about exclusives a lot and the different types of exclusives.
How dare you do that to Helldivers?
in this conversation. And it's just very... There's facts we're talking about. There's feelings we're talking about. I feel like there's a lot of discourse that happens in the games industry, especially these days online, that it's like, this doesn't need to fucking happen. Mm. This is one of those rare times that I'm like, I get the discourse. I get perspectives.
I get some of it. I get a lot of it. I get a lot of confusion, right? Like, I think it's okay to be confused, especially when it's reports not coming directly from Microsoft. It is
these people, are all rumors.
These are all rumors slash reports, right? Like, these are all people, like, this is The Verge, Jeff Grubb, and Xbox Era. And, like, out of those three, it's like, okay, well, all of them are saying the same thing about different games, but it's all rooting toward the same thing of there's a shift going on at Xbox. And I have to believe that, unless it is Barrett's theory of like, oh, this is their way of sniffing out like potential leakers. But I think even if you're going to do that, right? Like,
I want to be clear, that's more of a joke theory than anything before. People.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, I don't think that's the case. Like, I think this is the case. And, you know, a lot of the conversation has been fascinating to see the response from so many people. I put up a tweet, and I tried not to tweet yesterday, and I failed, and I tweeted. I tweeted in response to a friend, though, thinking that, like,
this will protect me.
Yeah, nobody's going to see this tweet, right? And, like, it was the homie Emmett Watkins Jr. basically talking about how, you know, I feel like for a consumer, like, this is a net positive, right? Like, for the gaming audience, don't you want all your games to be everywhere, right? Like, don't you, like, even if it was PlayStation putting out Spider-Man on Xbox, right? Or Nintendo putting out Zelda on PlayStation, whatever it is. And it's like, isn't that a net positive? Like, I feel like this is a good thing. And I responded to that being like, yeah, I'm surprised most people don't feel that way. And when I tell you that tweet got over 50 replies, like,
it's wild. Yeah.
And like, a lot of people have a lot to say about this. For me, I think the place that I start with is I feel like this is what Xbox has been telling us for the last 4 years. And you talk about like the important news story that's kind of rooting back to being the announcement of Xbox Game Pass and first-party games coming out day and day for Xbox Game Pass. For me, this goes back to 2013 and the ripple effects of that Xbox E3, how, you know, PlayStation won that E3, won that PS4 Xbox One launch, and that kind of sent us down this ongoing path of Xbox having to play catch-up and that kind of leading us into it being so difficult to compete on the first party side, it being so hard to get mindshare back on the Xbox side and get that positivity back on the Xbox side, us being in a place now where, like you talk about the three lanes, Nintendo has their own lane and they've had their own lane forever, right? And that works for Nintendo. PlayStation has been able to find their own lane, especially within the last generation. And Xbox now being in a place of having to figure out how to carve their own lane, I think this is that lane. And I think this is going to be a net positive both on the consumer side, right? But then also, I think this is the way as Xbox, you stay in business. Like, a lot of the replies I was getting on Twitter were people being like, this is going to lead to Xbox not making consoles anymore, and people are going to lose their digital libraries and all this stuff, right? And, like, I think some of that concern could be valid, but I think we're far from that still, right? Like, I think if Xbox keeps trying to play the exclusive, we're going to put our games out on our platform and, like, try to play the same game that Nintendo and PlayStation are doing, I think that's going to continue with them being in third place, because that's exactly what Phil Spencer said on XCast when he did the interview. He was like, we're in third place, and we can't just make people stop playing on PlayStation and come play on Xbox. Like, that's not how this works. We can't do that. I think for how they talk about Xbox being a platform, being an ecosystem, being a thing that, you know, you can play Xbox on Xbox consoles, or you can play Xbox on Samsung TVs, or you can play Xbox on your Steam Deck via Xbox Game Pass and Cloud, right? Like, you want to have Xbox everywhere. That way you can have people in the ecosystem and you make so much money that way. It goes back to, like, even when the Activision acquisition happened and we had arguments and back and forth of, like, are these games going to be exclusive? How are they going to treat this stuff, right? And I come back to, I don't think you spend $69 billion on Activision Blizzard and then go, all right, make less money by only putting your games on our platform. It's like, no, you make so much goddamn money by continuing to put Call of Duty on PlayStation, PC, Nintendo Switch, wherever you can put it. And same goals for your other games too, right? Like, I think there's so much value in that. I also think on the hardware side of things, right? Like, Xbox is a console. Because a lot of the conversations I see as well are Xbox without the games, right? Like, what is making people buy the Xbox? And this, again, comes back to my conversation, the conversation of Xbox is no more just a box. Xbox is the platform. They are selling you the ecosystem. The Xbox box is now an additional way to play Xbox, right? And probably, like, the preferred way to play Xbox. Like, they're still going to make those, but now it is another entryway to the ecosystem in the way that there are so many entryways between all these different things that we've talked about. That plus, I think the content isn't the only way to build uniqueness as an identity, right? Like, I think Xbox can go hard with features on a platform. I think Xbox can go hard with, you know, what things they can do with the controller, things they can do with the
UI. Is that
true, though?
See, that's I've been so 100% spot on with you
yeah,
until this point, because I feel it's the opposite of that. They can't be unique in that way because they need it to then be able to serve every other platform. You don't want to add extra features and things that are the little bells and whistles to make your box, the actual hardware part of this, special, because at that point it's creating rifts in ways you don't want to. You'd want it to work everywhere, and to your point about that, you don't spend $69 billion unless you want your games everywhere. Like,
yeah.
I don't think you do that to then kind of like create this weird. It's better here though in some ways, but we all know it won't be better in most ways because of just the way that the tech's going to work. If they go with the strategy, the system is going to get cheaper and it's going to be less powerful. I don't think it's going to be more powerful.
I mean, I think it's going to be both, right? Like, I think doing this even maybe allow you to focus on, all right, what are the things that are going to make the Xbox hardware special? And I think it could be, it kind of goes back to the conversation we had about PlayStation last week with the reports / rumors of a new PlayStation handheld. I think maybe finally we get that Xbox streaming box. Maybe we get an Xbox handheld. Maybe we get, you know, more iterations of what the X looks like, right? The most powerful Xbox hardware you can make, but then also having the S, right, as a thing. I think you're able to explore those options more and also build out that ecosystem in terms of just, I guess, features is hard because it's hard to even think about the features. I've not thought too deeply about
what they are.
We don't know what the features are yet, right? But I think there are other ways to compete, quote unquote compete, right? Because I don't think you necessarily have to compete if you're putting your games on PlayStation. But I think there are ways to say to keep your platform vibrant, I think is probably a better way to put it, than to just go, let's go blow to blow with first party software exclusives. Because I do think that that is a mindset of the 90s and early 2000s that we're starting to shift away from.
And then Xbox has never won. Like, that's, I think, an important thing to bring up. It's that we've talked, and like, I know that there's going to be a lot of toxic responses to all this, and like, we're having a discussion here about,
of course,
facts, our perspectives, everything in between, all of it. But looking back at Xbox, I've owned every Xbox except the 360, which is the winning generation, right?
Yeah.
Like, but it also won for reasons that I wouldn't have been playing Call of Duty and multiplayer, things like that, right? Mm-hmm. And I did play enough 360 games to have played through the Halos and shit like that. But you look at the original Xbox and how it compared exclusive-wise, or any-wise, really, but exclusive-wise to the PlayStation 2 or even the GameCube, and it's like, all right, cool. Like, they had a handful of fucking winners, and then they lost a lot of them over time. They lost, like, the Splinter Cells not being exclusive. It was, at a point, tied to that system. Then you move on continuously. It's like Xbox just never, while they were working on Gears 5, Sony was working on Uncharted 4 and new IP. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Whether it's Naughty Dog putting out Last of Us or it's the teams working on, like, look at the PS4 to 5 generation of how many new Sony PlayStation studios put out new IP.
Yeah.
A ton, right? So now there's more things to pull from that aren't just, let's get another Gran Turismo and another Crash Bandicoot, even though we're getting another Gran Turismo and via third party, another Crash Bandicoot. Like, PlayStation just kept moving ahead while Xbox kept trying different things to play catch up, and it just kept not working. And that leads to your conversation about 2013 being the turning point. And I do think that every step just kind of has helped build the snowball to where we're at now. Mm-hmm. That I'm with you, that I feel like this is inevitable at some point, but I don't think it's necessarily dire on the Xbox side. I think that it is looking at where we're at and how money's made in games.
In the long term, this might save Xbox. Like, this might be the thing to keep you in there.
Save is a weird word because I don't like, just because you're in third place doesn't mean you're losing.
For sure.
I think that's important, is that Xbox is making a shit ton of money. Like, they're making so much money. They're just not making as much as they wish they were. And they're looking at ways of, could we make more money? Because to them, that is winning, right? So I think that there's a totally valid strategy here with what we know of what they have. They have Call of Duty.
Yeah.
You know? And in addition to that, they do have Gears. They do have Halo. They do have the dominoes we've been talking about for years of Hellblade 2 and everything that they showed at the Xbox Game Showcase last year that was exciting stuff that I truly believe we're actually going to get in a fairly timely fashion over the course of the next couple of years. Indiana Jones, all of that. But even with that stuff, you look at if they were to put their games all on PlayStation, again, we're years out from this, because even if this happens, it's delayed. Delayed a year, delayed months, whatever. Mm-hmm. The turning point's going to be when it's day and date. The turning point when it's going to be a full-on Sega situation. Yeah. And the discourse that I'm like, hey, it's a valid conversation, is really at that some point, does Xbox give up on a digital library of the past? Like, is PlayStation putting out a console that's $700 because they don't have any competition?
Yeah, see, that's the part where it is, all right, like, I think that's the stuff that lends to fear people have, right? Or lends to, like, I definitely understand that side of the conversation. But we're still not at the place yet where Xbox is going day and date. Definitely not impossible. Definitely a thing, like, as we're going, like, I could see it happening, right?
So my thing is,
go for it.
These are the dominoes in a different way. It's inevitable at this point.
You think day and date is inevitable?
I think if they make these choices, I think it is inevitable that they get there. Because going back to 2013, this step led to this step led to this step led to this step. They're making steps to protect themselves and to try to, like, find their lane. They're in the lane, and I just think that the decisions made at this point, if this stuff is true, because when the weekend went like this for me, I hear this news, and I'm like, oh, God, strap in, everybody. It's going to be a conversation. But then I'm like, okay, it's Starfield. It's Bethesda, a later acquisition, and, you know, they've worked with PlayStation forever, and we've had so many conversations for years at this point of, is it going to be exclusive? Is it not? And it's like, it is. If it were to come a year later or whatever, I'm not surprised. That makes sense to me. But I'm like, all right, cool. There's going to be other ones due to acquisition stuff. Gears of War being talked about?
Oh, yeah.
That's different, man. That's so different.
Yeah, I think day and date, I think the only way day and date happens of them putting out, yeah, like Gears of War and games like that at the same day on PlayStation, as on Xbox platforms and stuff, is if they're somehow able to get Xbox Game Pass on PlayStation. Because I think once you go day and date, I don't know how that makes sense business-wise, right? And again, I'm not the business person.
But let's talk the business of it, yeah. Right? And again, like, we don't...
Because I think
spend money like this, yeah. but the thing about the day and date with the Xbox Game Pass thing for me, I almost feel will not happen on PlayStation if this strategy continues to go down, because it would be like you can buy this box. I don't think Xbox is going to stop making boxes. I'm with you.
Yeah,
I just don't think that their importance in the industry as like a true competitor box wise to PlayStation is going to be the thing. I think it's going to be more like I don't even want to use an example because that'll get me in trouble there. But I can see them being like, you can either get this box, and the subscription will get you the games for Game Pass, or you can pay $70 on PlayStation.
I guess that makes sense. I think that's sound. But I also think you're able to do both, right? I think if you come out, let's say, because right now I look at PlayStation and PlayStation games come to PC, right? It's a similar thing of, hey, we're putting this game out on PlayStation, and then a year later it comes to PC, and that allows them to double dip, and then that allows them to kind of have a constant flow of, oh man, all right, like Last of Us 2 came out on PlayStation on this in this day, and then a year later we're talking about it again because it's coming out again on PC, and then we'll talk about it a third time when it comes to PS5, right? Like,
yeah.
Not a direct example, but they're able to do things like that because they're having these staggered release dates. For Xbox, I think you're able to go, all right, Gears of War, whatever the next one is, we're putting it out on Xbox, and then a year later we're putting it out on PlayStation, and like that day one on Xbox and Xbox Game Pass allows them to have that initial wave of people subscribing to Game Pass, people buying the game, people playing it, conversation, all that stuff, and then a year later coming on PlayStation, I think that allows them to double dip, right? Of people being like, oh man, I want to play it on PlayStation now, or I have a PlayStation and I've not played it, right? And like I think that gives your audience a reason to still want to be on Xbox, to still like own an Xbox and be invested in the business, in the ecosystem. But then, yeah, like knowing that the game is going to come later to PlayStation, I think still has that level of, I think that hits harder than just day and date on PlayStation.
My thing is, I feel like you're right until we're there and the numbers just don't add up to where they need it to, because I think that like that as a strategy is going to work. It's going to make money. It is not going to make you first place in any competition. It's going to just kind of work. And I think that at a certain point you start shaving off all the stuff around it. So you just, well, the thing that works most about this is this. And I do think that the next Gears won't be day and date. The next Gears, if we're going down this path, I can see being a year later or whatever. But then the next one, I think is day and date. I just think that the moment you start going down this path, I just think that there's no going back.
Do you think PlayStation is going to do day and date for PC? I know we're talking about a different business here, but if you want to talk about just what makes money,
no, I don't. Because I think PlayStation, their strategy, they're number one. It's working. And you know, again, this isn't to say, like, again, we're talking about different competitions.
For sure.
We've talked for a year now, pretty much, about what is PlayStation doing in 2024? And what are they going to do in 2025? Mm-hmm. We don't know their big first-party titles. The ones that are, like, the ones we're talking about. The ones that won them the generation. Won them the console war. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't know what they are. We're going to talk about some of them maybe in story two, but yeah. Like, but even then it's like, there's so many questions of how this is all going to work. But I think that this is a major turning point, and we got to bring up Sega. You can't just look at things and be like, oh, well, this is how this happened before, and this is how things are happening now. the late 90s and 2024, completely different businesses and video games, completely different scale of it all. Mm-hmm. But it is important to note, like, you look at Sega, and they were the console wars with Nintendo, yeah, right? PlayStation comes out of nowhere, starts gaining ground, and then when Sega went third party, it was a huge deal. But all of a sudden started making sense when the value of Sega was actually just found elsewhere and sold better. Sonic Adventure 2 sold better on GameCube than it did on Dreamcast, mm-hmm, right? Those are the Sega properties. That's what they had. Sega had a bunch of stuff. But Sega had a bunch of stuff that was hitting in the 90s. Sega didn't have stuff that was going to propel gaming to be where it is now. You look at Xbox currently, they got Call of fucking Duty. Mm-hmm. They got Overwatch. They got all of the Xbox actual old school branded stuff, the Halos and all that stuff. Tony Hawk, Crash Bandicoot, Bethesda games, all of it. This isn't the Sega situation. This is different. They got the goods, and they have them in droves. So they also have the subscription service. They have a way to make money that isn't just selling boxes.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I do not think this is a Sega situation.
No. I want to bring in some YouTube Super Chats. Of course, you can write in with YouTube Super Chats. Like, ask questions, give your comments, all that stuff. Guitar Hero Arrow writes in and says, Xbox described itself as being in last place. I've never seen a company fight so hard to stay there. I'm speaking as a jaded Xbox fanboy. It's so crazy how last night, I was hanging out on Twitter / X, whatever you want to call it. And did you know that Spaces is still a thing? You know, Spaces is still a feature.
Still a fucking thing.
It's still a feature. And I saw Spaces that was titled, I'm not an Xbox fanboy anymore. And I'm like, damn, I am way more positive on this than, like, I think a lot of the community is. And when I put out my tweet the other day, a lot of people were like, oh, of course you would say that. You're a PlayStation fan. But, and I'm like, I'm rooting for Xbox.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You're not an Xbox guy, though. And neither am I. So it's easy for us to look at this and just be like, yeah, this sounds great.
But I also feel like I don't love the idea of like, oh, this person's an Xbox guy, this person's a PlayStation guy. Like, I play a lot of my games on PlayStation. I own an Xbox, right?
Totally. Do you play games on them though? Like that.
I played Starfield, and Hi-Fi Rush is like one of my favorite games of the last year. Yeah. Right. Like, I think it's very much like arbitrary lines that we draw. And I like, of course, I'm on a PlayStation podcast, and so who am I to talk?
Whatever.
But like, that's part of my job, right? Like, yeah. Go on a PlayStation podcast. But like, I own all the boxes. Like, so many people, and not most people, because money's a thing, right? Not everybody has infinite money to spend. And I'm blessed because I got my Xbox from work, right? But like, a lot of people just play games where they can play games.
Totally.
A lot of people just don't care about those arbitrary lines. And so when, like, even for me as like a person that plays games more on PlayStation, right? Like, I also play games more on Nintendo. I also play Steam Deck or PC when I can. And I feel like the lines that we draw when it comes to like the console stuff, I don't get it. Like, okay, sure, I'm not the biggest Gears person, right? But like, I feel like that doesn't put me in a place where I can't still root for Xbox and go, oh, I think this makes sense. Like, I don't know.
No, you're absolutely right about that. I just think that like Xbox guys exist, and I feel for them, and I feel like Nintendo guys exist. And I have felt for me at times in negative ways and in positive ways. I would consider myself a Nintendo guy. Mm-hmm. I hate when they make bad decisions. It bothers me a lot. That means like my emotional investment in it makes me a Nintendo guy.
I feel what I'm saying. I think there's levels to it though.
Like,
I think
100% is. Yeah. No,
I think of myself as I guess like a Nintendo or PlayStation guy sometimes, but that's more so like I grew up playing a lot of Mario's and I like them, right? Or like
that's,
I like
my only point is like you're Shadow not an Xbox Colossus guy, and that's not even that's sure. not an insult. You play Xbox games. I play. I'm right there with you. Yeah. I own all the consoles. I don't give a shit. I want Xbox to have great exclusives. I personally, I'm like, I won't give me reasons to. I'm because I think about games in an old school way.
Yeah, I think I'm just saying that like there's levels of, oh yeah, I like these games I played on the platform, and then people who craft their identity around the platform. Sure. And that's like, that is where I'm like, you know, I like PlayStation. I'm not trying to be the person that's like, oh, PlayStation, ride or die, fuck your Xbox, all this shit, right? Like, I feel like that's where people kind of get weird with it. I want to bring in another super chat from Mara, who writes in and says, I have two goals this year when it comes to KF. Tim plays Donkey Kong Country 3 on stream, and Tim plays Sekiro on stream with Andy and Bless. Let's make it happen. Tim, you would love Sekiro.
I don't know, man. I've tried it.
Also, let's bring back Donktober, baby.
Donk it
let's
up.
Let's bring back Donktober.
I feel like it should always just be Donktober, honestly.
Optimus Prime writes in and says, I'm so tired of Xbox's defeatist attitude in Phil's comments last year. People won't sell their PS5s, but they will buy Xboxes if you have great exclusives.
Look, that's true, but they don't. and they're not going to.
Yeah,
that's what we're talking about here.
But I also, and I don't even think is that like they're not going to, because I think Indiana Jones, for example, is gonna be a great exclusive until it comes to PlayStation, right?
Yeah.
But like, I think even with that, I think you make more. I think this is more sound business wise than playing the exclusive game, right? Like, again, it is not correct about Bob. Selling consoles. It is about selling software and selling subscriptions and getting you in the ecosystem. I think a lot of the arguments I've seen online have been about the consoles, have been about the box. And I can't stress enough that Xbox isn't trying to sell you just the box. That is a thing they're trying to sell you. It's almost turning into like an accessory situation of, 100%. Hey, if we can sell you the box, we'll sell you the box. But as long as you have Xbox Game Pass, like that's our main goal right now.
Mm-hmm. It's similar to Apple, where they want you to get in the ecosystem, and then the more you get into it,
yeah,
it just helps each other. And I feel like that's the future of Xbox. Thinking about it, it just sucks.
I mean, it's
the
kind of
the
funny business when we talk about, like, you know, patreon.com, like, go there, sub, right? This year, we've also added the kind of funny membership that you can get also on YouTube.
Yeah.
That is us expanding, right? That we also have merch. We have sponsorships. We have so many different ways to get money. Like, that is what Xbox is doing, right?
I thought that was about to be the most banger segue I've ever heard.
Dang, I didn't think about that. No, we still have some YouTube super chats, but let's see. Corey Clark writes in and says, FTC leaks show that Xbox thinks Elder Scrolls 6 comes out 2 years after Starfield. With the recent rumors about the next Xbox in 2026, do we think this might be to get in good graces for a Skyrim exclusive later? I mean, I don't know if I believe. I when we talk about the leaks, right? You got to take that shit with a grain of salt. Those are plans, and plans change. There is no way in hell that Elder Scrolls 6 is coming out in 2 years. Like, we're not seeing that game for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
We got a lot more super chats, but let me tell you about Patreon.com. I didn't have as good of a segue. Dang it. I should have used that one. I had the chance.
It was good. We'll give you credit for it.
I had the chance. Patreon.com/kindoffunny and getting the Kind of Funny membership on YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. Allow you to get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by kindoffunny.com/store. We've got two brand new drops for you this week. First, check out the Kind of Funny broadcast line. Old School Telethons inspired this distressed design and collection for our annual Kind of Funny Day campaign, which includes a t-shirt, tote bag, and coffee cup. Our cozy collection, designed by Nick at Campfire Designs, is also available. Get nice and snuggly in your choice of a crew neck sweatshirt and joggers and a women's cropped hoodie. These have been big hits with the team, and we think you'll love them too. Both collections are available for the next 2 weeks on kindoffunny.com/store. Grab them while you can.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And we're back. And I got some more YouTube super chats for you.
Pat me up.
Jesse says, could playing nice now also lay the groundwork for Xbox to get Sony to bring their 13 live service games to Xbox? I don't think so. I don't think that's an Xbox thing. I think PlayStation, PlayStation is so like, hey, we're going to have exclusives. Like, that is what sells the box. In the way that we're talking about Xbox, the box isn't the main thing. PlayStation, the box is the main thing.
Dude.
And the way they sell you the box is by making these games exclusive.
I'm so with you.
Yeah.
But These live service games, it's a different strategy, and PlayStation can't fuck it up. And it kind of feels like they might fuck it up.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, yeah.
I would not be surprised. Things are changing here. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a landscape shift that we are having. If we go down this path, I would not be surprised to see the PlayStation Live Service games making their way to other platforms. You asked earlier, do I think PlayStation games are going to be day and date on PC? I do think that there is a high chance that some of these live service games
Sure. Yeah, I was even thinking about the live service games.
And,
for
exactly. The past live service, I do not think so. But live service, I do. Mm-hmm. And at that point, if Xbox, the box itself, isn't even competition in the way that it traditionally has been, yeah, I think at a certain point, Xbox is just a PC to PlayStation. It's just a place.
It's just another box.
Another box. Just another box. So, again, there's so much happening right now, and so many decisions have to be made to impact the games that are going to come out this year, next year, whatever, that
yeah.
I think that we're still just going to be caught in a lot of confusing messaging for a while, sure. Because if everyone's figuring it out.
Yeah, and messaging is tough when, like, at the core, you can understand a lot of these decisions, most of these decisions, if you just think about, all right, how does it make money? Like, if you try to trace the money, then you can find, like, the rationale behind decisions being made. And to your point of, like, the live service stuff, maybe just coming to Xbox, right, because it's another platform people get into. Yeah, like, I think to kind of go back on my point that I made earlier, I think the goal with PlayStation, with the live service stuff, is to make money, right? And I think God of War, Horizon, Spider-Man, that's selling you the box. Also, it's making money, obviously, mm-hmm. but that is what you're buying a PlayStation for. If, let's say, Marathon comes out on PlayStation and PC and is the biggest thing ever and is making money hand over fist, oh, yeah, let's put it on Xbox and make even more money, because the money we're making off of this is paying for games like God of War and paying for games like Last of Us, and making those budgets actually make sense. Yep. So yeah, that makes sense. We got another one, Jordan Irwin, a new member actually for the Kind of Funny membership.
Thank you.
I'm still not sure I get why owning an Xbox would matter anymore at all. If there aren't exclusives anymore, why pay for an Xbox?
So I think it's twofold. Because I think on one side, it's if that's your feeling, then don't get an Xbox. It's okay. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. There's options then. If you just want to play the games where you want to play them. But why get the box? Convenience and buying into an ecosystem.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is if you just want the easier way to play these games, it's this. And again, I think that there's going to be more entry points than we've ever seen before. Like, there's a lot of if these rumors and reports and this are true and where it all leads. More than ever, I believe this is happening, and I believe that it's going to result in an Xbox Stream dongle, an Xbox handheld, Steam Deck-like device, like all of it.
Yeah.
And they're going to give you options to play their games.
1,000%. Yeah. Like, this goes back to the point I was making earlier that I think there are more ways to get people into an ecosystem and platform aside from just exclusive content, right? Like, I think it's a shift of how we have to think about it, right? Because again, coming up with video games, that was the strategy. That's how we've been trained to think about these things. Oh, the console has the better exclusives. There's the one that always wins, right? I think if you're able to, yeah, curate a platform that has a bunch of different entry points in terms of what the box is, right? And like, yeah, find ways to make that ecosystem worthwhile to invest in. Whether it is like, oh man, if you play the Xbox version of this game, you get exclusive content, which I don't know if that's the strat, but like,
it's not.
I think they gotta find a strat. Like, yeah. I think there are ways to do that. Like, I still think features of what you're able to do with the hardware is maybe the way you're able to make it work. And like, yeah, you can't do like a, you know, you can't just put out Joy-Cons or whatever on like Xbox, right? Because like now it's like, oh man, well, this isn't gonna work on other platforms. But I do think that you can find ways to go, all right, we're going to sell you an Xbox box. It's going to be a dream to play on. And I think that's what's going to sell people on it. But we'll have to wait and see.
Yep.
Moving on. Story number two. Neil Druckmann hints at The Last of Us Part 3. This is from Taylor Lyles and Alex Stedman at IGN. At the end of Grounded 2, making The Last of Us Part 2, Naughty Dog's Neil Druckmann made a surprise reveal that The Last of Us Part 3 could very well be on the way. That's a lot there at the moment. He says he merely has a concept in mind, but did note that there's probably one more chapter to this story. Quote, the first game had such a clean concept of like the unconditional love a parent feels for their child, he said. The second one, once we landed on this idea of the pursuit of justice at any cost, justice for the ones you love, we felt like there's a clean concept here and there's a through line from the first game about love. If we never get to do it again, this is a fine ending point. Last bite of the apple. The story's done. The great thing about working at Naughty Dog is that we don't have to, he added. It's always like, we would love another Last of Us, but if you guys feel you're passionate about something else, we'll support this other thing. A very privileged position to be in. I never take that for granted. I've just been thinking about it. Is there a concept there? And for years, I haven't been able to find that concept, but recently that's changed. And I don't have a story, but I do have a concept that to me is as exciting as one, as exciting as two, is its own thing, and yet has this through line for all three. So it does feel like there's probably one more chapter to the story.
Yeah, fucking hyped. Well, man. I honestly, like, I don't think that something could be said about Last of Us 3 to get me more excited than this.
Yeah.
Of him being like, it's not about the story. I don't have the story, but I got the theme. I got this special. And having seen Last of Us 1, Last of Us 2, I have nothing but faith and excitement for whatever this is for Last of Us 3. And them talking about probably one more chapter to the story, it's like, I do like the building towards an end.
Yes.
And of course, money is money. Things
money is money. You want to make more Last of Us.
Whatever. But I personally am very excited about Last of Us 3. I know I'm not alone in that. I'm also excited to see something different from Naughty Dog, and they talked about that a little bit as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how this all shakes out timeline-wise, especially when there's a TV show being made that he's...
I mean, to your point about money is money, right? Like, the fact that we've not gotten more Uncharted, like, not even just from Naughty Dog, but period, I think it's such a... Yeah, like, I think they PlayStation respects Naughty Dog's finality when it comes to, all right, we're done with this thing. We don't want to make
it's an interesting point.
I think, like, Last of Us 3 is probably going to be the last Last of Us for a very, very, very long time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that. It's interesting to talk about Uncharted that way, because we've talked for years about what San Diego up to, right?
Like, yeah.
Like, or whoever working on Uncharted, and yet we haven't seen that.
We haven't seen it. I think the San Diego thing was like a remake also. Like, I think it was like a remake of Uncharted 1. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I forget if there were reports about people making a sequel.
I thought the reports were a sequel. I thought it was, I don't remember.
I think at one point there was the idea of Uncharted 1, and I think that was, I think that story was coming out around the time that The Last of Us Part 1 remake was like coming up.
Because I think it was the thing of, it started off as Uncharted 1, like they wanted to do that, and that turned into Last of Us remake.
And then the sequel, I think, like the where there's smokes, there's fires. There's that weird live action like sizzle reel, and there was like a blonde girl at some point that wasn't in like a familiar. She wasn't a familiar character amongst like a lot of familiar PlayStation characters. I think that was also feeding into possibly an Uncharted sequel.
Yeah, that's the thing is, I think the sequel stuff was like more speculation and rumors as opposed to like a Jason Schreier breakdown or anything like that.
Yeah. It's interesting. I feel like we will see. I think we're due for Uncharted from someone else.
Yeah,
like I think that we will get it, but like to your point, it's like maybe not. I don't know. But also, PlayStation, to what we were talking about earlier, they're in a very weird place right now. Like, it's to be a fan of PlayStation first party games. It's not an exciting time. I think for the first time in a long time,
you have to wait. Right? Yeah. Like, I think that's the thing is, you know, they're cooking. Like, you know, Ghost 2 is probably coming. Like, we know Death Stranding 2 is coming in 2025. Right? And like beyond that, it's like, unless you're an Insomniac fan, like, it's like, oh man, okay, I'm gonna wait 5 years for the sequel to one of my favorite games, and that's just what it is, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, to be a person who is waiting for the next PlayStation exclusive, it is having to go, all right, like I guess I'm gonna play Helldivers, but also Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I don't know. It's a weird spot, but at least the games are coming, right? Like, at least it is, you're getting 2 to 3 games a year, depending on the year. I guess this year.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. I don't know.
I think Concord is still coming. So get hyped for Concord, everybody.
Hyped, everyone.
Story number 3, Star Wars Jedi Survivor has won this year's Video Game Soundtrack Grammy. This is Chris Scolian at VGC. Star Wars Jedi Survivor has won this year's Grammy for Best Video Game Soundtrack. The award for Best Score Soundtrack for Video Games and Other Interactive Media is given to the best composers for an original score created specifically for or as a companion to video games and other interactive media. This year, the award has been won by Stephen Barton and Gordy Hobb for their score for Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Other nominees this year were Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, God of War Ragnarok, Hogwarts Legacy, and Stray Gods, the role-playing musical. This year marked the second year that the Grammys had a dedicated award for video games. Congratulations, Star Wars. You played Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
Oh, yeah.
Do you feel like that's a Grammy?
Yeah, it is. I mean, here's the thing. The soundtrack's fantastic, and like the technical prowess of the recording and everything, like they went off. And like the amount of instrumentation used, like there's so much there. And you look at the list of games here, it makes sense. The Grammys are a different beast than the Game Awards.
That's why I kind of want to hate on it, because I'm like, all right, like we get it. It's Star Wars. Like I feel like Star Wars gets put on. Like, obviously, the Star Wars soundtrack, great, because you're emulating Star Wars, which by itself already has an iconic classic soundtrack. But I also, when I look at the video game soundtracks of the last year, I'm like, I don't know, man. I feel like Final Fantasy 16 is a slam dunk, and something like that gets overlooked because you look at these as more cinematic, and we know what Harry Potter is, and we know what Star Wars is, and so we know what those things sound like. You know, am I crazy there?
No, you're not crazy, but I do think that's also kind of doing the, like, well, video games are video games and movies are movies, where it's like sometimes it can be both. And like Jedi Fallen Survivor, whatever the fuck it was called,
Star Wars Jedi Survivor
is an incredible game in addition to an incredible Star Wars thing.
Yeah.
And when you look at the music specifically, I would argue that the Jedi games have done more interesting stuff sonically and with music in the Star Wars world than most Star Wars movie or TV shows have done in decades. And like they go hard into some cool, weird stuff that feels authentically Star Wars while being entirely its own thing. So I would rock for Star Wars here. I don't know Hogwarts. I don't know if that like brought the heat or whatever. But again, I just think that like what they're talking about here, it's the who's who in a different way, where they're not talking about the video game composers necessarily. Although we did get a Civilization win before. So it's like, I think that this is only the second year they've done this. I think that like there will be different talks in the future. But at the end of the day, the Grammys going Grammy, man. All award shows have their
Grammys are going to Grammy.
So,
oh man, you hear what Jay-Z had to say?
I heard everything he had to say.
That man was that man's ride or die. I appreciate it. Story number four: Final Fantasy 14 requires a Game Pass subscription to play on Xbox. This is Ryan Dinsdale at IGN. The Xbox version of Final Fantasy 14 requires a Game Pass subscription on top of the massively multiplayer role-playing game's own monthly cost. Tucked into a blog post revealing the Xbox version's open beta begins on February 21st, quote, the free trial version, including the open beta test, will not require an Xbox Game Pass, Core, or Ultimate plan to play. Square Enix said, however, the full Xbox Series X and S versions will require Xbox Game Pass, Core, or Ultimate plan to play, end quote. PlayStation players are not required to own a PlayStation Plus subscription to play FF14, leaving many fans confused over why the Xbox equivalent is required. PC players don't require any additional subscriptions either. This strikes me as a mistake.
Yeah.
I think this will be fixed.
Because it's just complicated.
It's complicated.
In a world that needs less complicated.
And I think before it was the other way around, where like I think Fortnite or something was free on Xbox, but then PlayStation you had at PS Plus, and that was a big controversy, and then eventually they changed it. This feels like somebody doesn't understand that because FF14 is an only online game that they don't need to have it on Game Pass or whatever.
Yeah.
Also, Game Pass, that's a weird one for online, isn't it? Isn't it usually Xbox Live, or did that change now to Xbox Game Pass Core?
Yeah, didn't they get rid of that? Yeah, it's Core now.
It's Core now? Okay. Yeah, that just seems off. I don't know.
It's all confusing here,
man. Let me tell you about PS Plus Essential.
Don't ever tell me about it. I don't want to know.
Fuck a premium. Oh,
God,
man.
PlayStation Plus Plus Plus.
PlayStation Plus Plus Plus. Tim, we just talked about a lot of big news.
We did,
so big. But I wanted something smaller, say the tiniest news I needed to know about, where would I go?
You'd go to our last story, the Wii News Channel, where we cover all the small news items that you need to know about.
Story number five. It's time for Wii News. This is the weeest of Wii news. Honkai Star Rail version 2.0 is out today. And Steam Next Fest starts today. That's it.
And guess what? News. Steam Next Fest, though. Yeah. Pretty interesting. I have a Steam Deck. So that means I'm more interested than I've ever been.
Yeah.
And Tales of Kinzara, Zao, the game that was announced at Game Awards.
Yep.
It is a Metroidvania style game. And the demo is out now, actually. The Steam Next Fest demo. They dropped early, like a couple days ago. Mm. Played that over the weekend. We're in for a fucking heater.
Let's
Wes.
Fucking go. I'd
it's
love to hear
awesome.
That.
Coming straight off of Prince of Persia as well. Like being so into that. I'm so high on this, the Metroidvania fix. And this just continues it, man. It feels good. It seems dope as hell.
Mm.
Very, very like purposeful vibe to it. Mm. Very in.
I cannot wait for this. Hell yeah. Now it's time for a super chat section. We got a lot more super chats left for us to go through. Let's start off with CJ Splitson, who says, do you think the Activision Blizzard King purchase was the catalyst for all this happening, aka the first domino?
No.
Yeah, no. I think this was probably in the works for a bit. Again, yeah. Like, I think this is, it goes back to the core strategy of the that Xbox has been talking about, right? Especially when we talk about, like, not, I forget if it was it them that were like, we don't believe in generations, or was it PlayStation that was like, we do believe in generations?
PlayStation said we do, right?
Yeah. Either way, Xbox, I don't think is, let's remove generations from it, right? I think it is the more so just the idea of, yeah, we don't want to sell the box. And I don't think, I think Activision Blizzard is a, like, it's a piece of that. And also part of, like, I guess it is, like, maybe the core piece of that, right? Like, it's such a big purchase that, like, you know, I think that is going to influence a lot of their strategy. But I think they already had this in mind before even Activision. I think if they didn't, if the Activision Blizzard purchase didn't go through, I think it would still be in the same place.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, if anything, I feel like the Activision thing is, protection's a weird word, but it's hedging your bets a bit. Where, going back to my Sega comparison earlier, it's like, it's not just Sonic the Hedgehog from the 90s. It's Call of Duty. And I feel like that gives you a level of guaranteed success. And it's just a question of, how are you going to make money? And are you making the right bet to make the most money? Mm-hmm. It's not a question of, is it going to work? It's going to sell.
Super Bright writes in and says, do you think Xbox could be getting into the could be getting the impression that Game Pass is close to market saturation on PC and Xbox, and this is the only way to grow? I do think it's interesting, because we've talked about this before. I think it was on PS I Love You years and years ago now, that I was talking about how I think Xbox so badly would want Xbox Game Pass to be on PlayStation, right? And I still stand by that, but I think I was convinced that it was going to happen. I was convinced that that was the strategy, and buying Call of Duty and Bethesda would force PlayStation's hand into letting Xbox Game Pass on PlayStation. Obviously, that's not the case now, but I think that that would have been higher on the priority list. I think the, like, them not being able to make that happen, I think this is the next step of, all right, just put the games on PlayStation then, or put the games on Nintendo Switch, as opposed to actually putting Game Pass on there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. The only way to grow? No, but it's a way to grow. And I do think that, again, Game Pass was a major domino, if not the first domino, but, like, I think the biggest domino yet to fall of what direction Xbox is going in, because it's a different business strategy. Money's made a different way. Games are made a different way.
Yeah.
And we're now dealing with the ramifications of that. And I say this all the time. You can't put the water back in the bottle if it spills. And the moment you make these decisions, they add up on each other, and that's where we get where we're at now. They need to find a way for Game Pass to make money. And if Game Pass is stagnating, they have a major fucking problem.
Yeah. We got another one from Side of Fries, who says, or actually, let's start off with Street Shadow, who says, Marathon is already multiplat and coming to Xbox. Appreciate that. You didn't have to pay us for that one. You could just put that in your wrong, actually. But hey, I still appreciate the $2 either way. And then Side of Fries says, for third parties, do they question putting games on Xbox, because even Microsoft doesn't seem to believe in their own systems?
See, I mean, multi-plat games, no. You want your games anywhere that they can be, because that's an audience that could either buy it outright and make more money, or get a deal to have it on Game Pass and get fucking cash money from Xbox, right? It's we're going to be talking about this a lot, I'm sure, over the coming weeks, if not more. But it is interesting to look at the third-party exclusive strategy over the last couple generations, and how back in the day it mattered a lot more that a Final Fantasy was exclusive on Nintendo. That meant that Sega Genesis didn't have that, right? Yeah. As you continue going on through the generations to where we're at now, there was that generation, pretty much the 360 generation, where it felt like the majority of third-party games were multi-platform. It was more rare that there was like Final Fantasy 13 was everywhere, you know? Yeah. And now to get where we're at, like, some of the bigger third-party exclusive decisions we've seen from anyone is Tomb Raider, Rise of the Tomb Raider on Xbox, which they ended up going back on, and that felt like a major fumble. It was a wrong time, wrong place move, right? We've talked about that a lot. But now you look at it, and what are the biggest ones? It's Square and their Final Fantasy games with PlayStation, of both Final Fantasy VII Remake trilogy so far, at least 2 out of 3, and 16. Those are huge, huge, huge games. Xbox doesn't have that.
Yeah.
And it, does that strategy make sense? How, I don't know. There's a lot to think about there, of like, where what is a third party?
Yeah.
At a certain point.
The I mean, I don't agree with the tone of the right talking about Xbox. Microsoft doesn't seem to believe in their own systems, and we've already talked about that, right? Like, I do think that this is still, I think that there's validity in the strategy change, right? But to the question of third parties, I mean, yeah, but also I could see if the landscape changes dramatically, where it is Xbox consoles aren't selling as much, right? Like, say the PlayStation 6 sells 80 million and the next Xbox consoles in the total sell 15 million.
Yeah.
Do third parties go, oh yeah, let's keep developing and putting our games on Xbox without like some kind of Game Pass deal or Game Pass like hook to it? I think that's a fascinating idea.
So that is fascinating, but the fact of the matter is, more so than ever, these are just a bunch of computers. Mm-hmm. And games are being developed on computers to be played on computers. So I just feel like there's going to be a congealing point that there is more similarity than there's ever been between everyone we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So at a certain point, it's like, what's it really matter?
Yeah.
You know, you're already developing your game to make sure that it can run on Steam or whatever.
Yeah.
So why not also just add another SKU if Microsoft's going to be as open a platform as they've tended to be?
I think they would have to be you would have to commit to Xboxes being very easy to develop for, like being essentially like, yeah, we're making Windows PCs that are straight up Xboxes. I mean, now
that's what they do, right?
Yeah, and but there's still, I still feel like there's a level, and maybe I'm thinking more about PlayStation, right? But I feel like
PlayStation,
yeah, there's a level of indies especially being like, we're just gonna put this on Switch and PC for now, because trying to port to different platforms is always a hassle. And like,
yeah,
I think part of it is like the difficulty of development, parts of it can be certification, parts of it can be like, you know, again, how much is this going to sell? Is this worth putting in the work if this is going to sell 500,000 on this platform because not enough people own the consoles or whatever, right? And then we talk about Game Pass and the ease of putting something on Game Pass, right? Is Game Pass always going to be a thing that has as many deals happening as it has, right? Or after, let's say, 3 to 4 years from now, is Game Pass going to be a bit more picky choosy about the games they include? Because it is, hey, we got to fund this thing. Like, we got to make sure that we have enough money to support this thing, and that's going to hinge on a lot of our Xbox Game Studio stuff or Bethesda stuff, right? I think that is a lot of the conversations they're probably already having internally, and for us as audience, is a wait and see. I think Xbox already has an idea, though, of like what that's going to look like. I don't think Phil and the team are dumb business-wise, right? Like, I think they know what they're doing, and I think those questions for them are probably already answered to some extent of, hey, if this happens, then we got this, right? And I think in terms of third-party stuff, for now, I don't think you have to worry about it. I think you have to worry about it the next generation. But currently, people already have Xbox Series X's. People are already playing on these things. And for the next gen, if there is a next gen of Xbox, it is going to be about proliferation and making sure people have ways to get in the ecosystem. And with that, like, I don't know. Like, Xbox Game Pass is just going to have bangers, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's see. We got another one. I mean, we got one from Aaron, made you laugh. This says, are the leaked next Xbox consoles still coming out? I assume you're talking about the spherical or cylinder console, like the pro version of the Xbox Series X. I'll assume yes. I don't know how this would take away from that.
I to me, it goes back to a lot of that stuff was from the legal documents. I feel like so much of this is up in the air, where
sure,
things were exposed that may have never actually seen the light of day. Like, people are, there's R&D going into things every which way. Do I think we're going to get a PS5 Pro? Yes. Do I think we're going to get an Xbox Series Z or whatever, like a Pro version? I'm a little more up in the air on that. I think we'll get more SKUs of Xboxes, but I think that they're going to be more accessible, not more powerful.
Spherical.
I think we're going to get the power. I think especially if PlayStation does the PS5 Pro, like from the leaked documents, obviously, which you can't, again, you have to take with a big grain of salt. I think what we talk about with DLSS and like AI upscaling and stuff is the future / natural progression of it. And I think Xbox is going to want in on that, because if PlayStation and other hardware are leaning into that, then you want to follow that. And I think,
yeah,
especially if we're about to enter that in the next 1 or 2 years, I think you want to be there alongside it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I think there's going to be a lot of SKUs. I think that it's just going to be like, there's not, I mean, even already it's kind of weird to talk about what is the Xbox this generation in terms of what is the box? Because you look at the sales numbers of the Series S compared to the Series X, and it's not like, oh man,
that's true.
The one, you know?
Yeah.
So I think we're already in this interesting place with Xbox as a hardware.
Okay. We're going to do only one or two more. I'm going to bring in this one from, okay, well, that's not a super chat. That's a membership, even though I like that question. I'll take this one. I like it. Skittle Monster says, did anybody at KF watch The Last of Us Part 2 doc? I specifically want to give a shout out to the art director who had to pretend to go feral and feast on a bloody corpse. It was a wet rag with fake blood. I've not gotten to watch it yet, and yeah. I really want to.
I skimmed around it a little bit, and I'm like, God damn, dude, it's really good.
Yeah.
Really high quality. I can't wait to watch it all. It just sucks because I want to watch it with Gia. I feel like she'd really appreciate the documentary side.
Mm-hmm.
But she needs to wait for HBO Last of Us season 2. You know what I mean?
I
gotta do that to her.
Damn. I watched the very ending because of the news story you talked about earlier with Neil that happened like right before the credits. And so I watched that for the show. And then I've not watched the clip because it's a very sad clip and I want to see it in context of the full thing. But I saw Laura Bailey talking about the reaction she got as Abby and like the abuse and threats and all this shit. And like, goddamn, we need to treat people better. I also that made me very sad over the weekend to like see like, you know, that and then like a lot of people talking about how damn they like really did horrible things to her, like the way the internet reacted to that. This morning I also saw like a developer from Suicide Squad tweet out, like they tweeted this days ago, right? But it was them talking about how, oh man, I'm in the credits for this game or whatever, right? And they're like, I forget what their role was, but they're on the narrative team essentially, like not a lead, but like somebody, there's somebody on the narrative team, and I guess somebody had quote tweeted it or something because the replies were just fucking like people tearing her apart of like, oh, you did this, all this shit, oh man, this sucks because of you. And I'm like, what's wrong with people? It was really disheartening to see because I'm like, first of all, that person that you're mad at didn't write the overall narrative of the game. Like, they're just on the team. Secondly, you don't treat anybody that way, right? Yeah. Like, even if they were the lead director, like, even if they were responsible for the full narrative, like, sure, you don't have to like the story, but leave people alone, right? Like, it's not their, like, it's not on them. And even, like, you just got to treat people better. It's a video game. And yeah, like, I was very bummed out to see the Laura Bailey thing. Then that followed by what I saw this morning of that person's replies. Be better to people. Man. Like, yeah. They're just doing their job.
For reals.
I'll speak it to me because I'm doing my job, right?
Yeah,
so if you're mad at what I'm saying here, what Tim's been saying here about talking about PlayStation, Xbox, all this shit, let's be friends.
Just tweet it at Game Over Greggy.
Let Greg deal with it. He's the one who's shitting on PC players. We love
He's the problem.
He's the problem. We love y'all PC people.
Deck boys, baby.
Oh my God. I can't wait to get back home to my Steam Deck. That's been your YouTube Super Chat section. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, but before we get there, we have a segment called You're Wrong that I almost forgot about. Of course, you write in, let us know what we got wrong, as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Banner Ascent says, Tim, Sonic Adventure 2 is on Steam and is playable on the deck.
Huh. I searched for it in the store. I'm still learning, everybody.
Yeah,
your search function on the Steam Deck, because I imagine you're pulling up the store on Steam Deck proper.
Yeah.
You might have like verified only as like the games that are popping up. If you deselect that, you'll be able to see like playable and like other stuff. So Tim's in trouble
tonight. I don't
need
this right now, man. That's exciting.
Yeah. I mean, some gamer critic writes in and says the PS3 actually won the Xbox 360 versus PS3 fight, which rolled into the PS4 generation. Yeah, but like during the generation, Xbox won. It was like at the end / after where PS3 finally caught up. But you're right. You're definitely right. Anonymous.
Again, I just think that's important to note how stupid the concept of winning and losing all this stuff is, because what did it win? What did it lose? I don't really know.
It won, Tim. Yeah. It just won, you know?
Yeah.
Anon says Marathon is already confirmed to Xbox. The launch trailer is even hosted on the Xbox YouTube channel. So there you go. I don't think I realized that, but that's pretty neat. Be cool. Banner Ascent says Jason did the report on Uncharted 1 remake / Last of Us remake. I nailed that shit. You know? Listen, I'd be paying attention when I read these news stories because I remember talking about that on KFGD. Dalton says it was the other way around. You used to need Xbox Live to play Fortnite, but didn't need PS Plus. Okay, so yeah, never mind. I was wrong about that. That's a good you're wrong.
I think more the hubbub on the PlayStation side years ago, bless, was the cross-play stuff.
Oh, yeah, that was a big thing. And then I got this one from Stead, who writes in and says, Nintendo have announced the direct for 2 p.m. PT tomorrow. Stead, I need you to know that you got God. All right. I saw somebody retweet this too. It's from last year. Dang. There's no Nintendo Direct happening tomorrow. I'm sorry to burst your bubble.
Having said that.
Yeah. Where is it?
It's coming either this week or next week. That's what everyone's saying.
But who's everyone?
Jeff Grubb.
Can we trust him?
Great question. I think so, though.
That man lives in Ohio. You can't trust people from Ohio. You
know? Also, though, it just makes sense. It would be surprising February. If they didn't do one in the next 2 weeks.
And yeah, like, I think every single leaked thing that's happened in the last, like, month, at least about the state of play, came to fruition. And so, yeah, I very much believe a Direct is coming.
Yeah.
Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, please support us with the Kind of Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free, watch record them live, and get a daily exclusive show. Till next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.